ever feel like you're stuck? Like your mind is just, I don't know, stuck in a rut, going through the motions?
Oh, absolutely. We've all been there.
But what if there was a way to like hit the reset button to break free from that rigid thinking?
Well, that's what we're diving into today.
That's what we're diving into today with Henri Bergson. Mm-hmm. He's this philosopher, wildly popular back in the early 1900s.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, almost a celebrity.
And for good reason, because he offered this really unique way to think about time. And it's not just some abstract philosophical concept either. His ideas are surprisingly relevant to, well, right now, our crazy, fast-paced world.
Absolutely. We often think of the early 1900s as this, I don't know, simpler time, but in a lot of ways, they were dealing with the same things we are now.
Totally.
Technology changing everything, people feeling overwhelmed by it all. Bergson was right there with them, grappling with these big questions about time, change, even creativity.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised how relevant those questions still are in our digital age.
Absolutely.
So we've got this stack of articles and excerpts on Bergson Mertz, some really fascinating stuff. But I'll be honest, some of it's pretty dense.
Oh, for sure.
Our job, if we choose to accept it, is to distill it all down to the good stuff, you know, the aha moments.
Exactly. Cut through the noise and find those golden nuggets of wisdom.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. This idea of time itself. We're obsessed with measuring it, rushing against it.
Always racing the clock.
Always racing the clock. But Bergson thought we were missing something crucial, something deeper.
He thought we were so busy measuring time that we'd forgotten how to actually experience it. He called it duration.
Duration.
Yeah, it's like, think about it. We experience time not as these chopped up seconds on a clock, but as a flow. Like, remember how an hour felt like an eternity when you were a kid waiting for your birthday?
Oh, absolutely.
Compared to, say, sitting through a boring meeting that seems to drag on forever? Same clock time, completely different lived experience.
It's so true. Time is definitely not one size fits all.
Not even close.
Okay, so time isn't just this external thing. It's also this internal subjective experience.
Right.
But how does that change how we think about ourselves, who we are? So we're not talking about like some kind of pre-programmed step-by-step process here.
Not at all.
It's more like we're all jazz musicians or something.
Yeah.
Riffing off the music of our lives.
And just like in jazz, there's freedom within the structure. We're not just puppets being pulled along by this, you know, élan vital. We have a say and how it unfolds, yeah. How we express it in the world.
I like that. So where does decision-making come in? With all this talk of change and flow, how do we actually make choices?
Well, that's where another fascinating aspect of Bergson's thinking comes into play. Oh. He actually believed intuition played a much bigger role than we often give it credit for.
Intuition. Okay, now hold on a second.
Yeah.
Intuition, like that gut feeling you get. But we're always told to think things through, be logical.
Right. Use your head.
Exactly. And wasn't Bergson a philosopher?
Right.
I mean, you'd think he'd be all about logic.
He was. But he also saw the limits of pure logic. Like, he felt we'd gotten too caught up in dissecting everything with our intellect.
Yeah. You
know, breaking it down into these neat little categories. But the world, life itself, it's not neat and tidy.
Never.
Right. So Bergson believed intuition allows us to grasp that messy, interconnected reality in a way that logic alone never could.
Hmm. So less thinking, more feel. I can get behind that. It makes me think about all those times I ignored my gut and went with the logical choice.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes with, well, mixed results. Well, so how do we tap into this intuition thing? Do we need to, like, meditate on a mountaintop or something?
Yeah, I don't think Bergson would necessarily advocate for abandoning logic altogether or becoming a hermit.
Okay, good to know.
It's more about bridging the gap between our intellect and our intuition. He actually called it intellectual sympathy, which I know it sounds a bit abstract.
It does.
But it's actually very practical when you really break it down.
Intellectual sympathy. So like empathizing with an idea.
It's more about meeting the world with a sense of openness and curiosity.
Right.
Like imagine trying to understand a complex piece of music.
Okay.
But instead of listening to it, you're just analyzing the sheet music.
Right.
You might figure out the notes, the tempo, the structure.
Sure.
But you're going to miss the soul of the music, you know.
Totally. The feeling.
Exactly. And Bergson believed that by cultivating intellectual sympathy, we begin to experience the world, not just analyze it.
Instead of dissecting it with our minds, we're fully experiencing it, almost immersing ourselves in it.
Okay.
It's like we get so caught up in figuring everything out that we forget to, you know, actually experience it.
Exactly. And it's a shame because those experiences, those moments of pure engagement with the world, that's where the real magic happens, you know?
Okay.
That's where we discover new possibilities, new ways of being.
Okay, so how do we actually apply this intellectual sympathy, this openness to experience in our everyday lives? I mean, it's easy to say be more present, but with like everything going on, all the demands on our time, it can feel kind of impossible.
You're right. It's not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it starts with small steps.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, putting down the phone for a few minutes each day and really looking at the world around you.
Yeah.
Or listening to a piece of music, just like we were talking about, without doing anything else, allowing yourself to get lost in it. Or even just like paying attention to your breath for a few moments.
Right. Just those little pockets of stillness and all the chaos.
Exactly. And the more we create those pockets, the more we start to, you know, see the world differently. We begin to see the connections between things, the flow of events, and we start to trust our own intuition more.
And that's where creativity comes in, right? If everything is always changing, always in flux,
yeah,
then we actually have the power to shape that change, to really be active participants in our own lives.
Absolutely. We're not just along for the ride. We're co-creators of our own reality.
Wow.
And that, I think, is an incredibly empowering thought. And Bergson believed that this creative impulse, this élan vital, it's not something that's just reserved for, you know, artists or musicians.
Right.
It's within each and every one of us.
So it's not just about understanding the world. It's about shaping it, about like tapping into that creative force and using it to, I don't know, navigate our lives, make decisions, maybe even build a better future.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that we're not static beings. We're constantly evolving, becoming. And that's not something to fear. It's something to embrace.
I love that. You know, when we started this deep dive, I have to admit, I was a bit intimidated by Bergson. He seemed like this, I don't know, obscure philosopher from another era.
I know what you mean.
But his ideas are so relevant to how we live now. It's really got me thinking.
Me too. He really gives you a lot to chew on.
He really does. He really does. So to our listeners, as you go about your day today, remember this. You are a work in progress, always becoming. And the question is, what will you become? What mark will you make on the world? Let that simmer for a while. And we'll catch you next time for another deep dive.